Baruch Hashem, Shachianu v'kiyonu v'gyanu azman hazeh. We are beginning a new limud together as a shir in the Sefer Sichot Haran, the talks of Rabbi Nachman. And Sichot Haran has certain advantages and disadvantages in terms of the gamut of books that were recorded with the teachings of Rabbi Nachman. The disadvantage is that it's not Lakute Maharan, which is really like an authoritative, sometimes word for word, Lashon Rabbeinu, as some of the pieces begin, words of Rabbi Nachman, coming directly from his mouth, being transcribed by, of course, his student, Rabbi Nosson of Nemrov. Rabbi Nachman said that without his Talmud, Rabbi Nosson, he would have nothing. We would never have heard of him. And yet somehow, Rabbi Nosson, who in his humility could have been one of the Gedolei Hador, spent his entire life perfecting the Nusach of Rabbi Nachman so that we could ingest it in a way which, on our level, will help us to get closer to Hashem. So Sichas Haran is not always word for word Rabbi Nachman. Sometimes it's Rabbi Nosson conversations that he had with Rabbi Nachman, but it's totally authentic. The advantage is that the pieces are a little bit shorter and a lot of times not as laced with Inyone Kabbalah and things which would be beyond our level, but it's each piece is an explosion in terms of shifting the way that we think about various aspects of Avodas Hashem. And so we're very excited to begin this new project, and we'll try Mitzvah Hashem to do a piece pretty much every day and try to gain something very lemaisa in our Avodas Hashem from one of the greatest thinkers of the previous generations, Rabbi Nachman ben Feiga, Zechus Yogein Alina Val Kol Yisrael, Amen. Okay, so we'll begin with Torah Aleph, Sicha Aleph from Rabbi Nachman. And a long time ago, recently they just put online some shirim from my Rabbi Rav Moshe Weinberger, including many sichos on Rabbi Nachman's Torah, both from Sichos Haran and Lakutei Maharan, and many things. But I remember a long time ago when I first listened to some of those shirim, and I remember Rav Weinberger saying that, you know, the difference between Lakutei Maharan and Sichos Haran is the difference between being in the Beis Medrash or being in the classroom with your Rebbe versus kind of like going to his home or like going on a road trip with your Rebbe, and like you get in the car and it's like it's a totally different feel. And when you go to the Rebbe's house and he's in his natural environment, he's got his kids running around, and you know, you see his furniture, and you see his kitchen, and you see he has a shower also, like he's a human being, you know. It's like when you're a kid and you like run into your teacher in the supermarket and you're like, wait a minute, you also like shop in the supermarket? You also like are a human? And there's something just so so much more relaxed and so much less formal about being in the Rebbe's home or being on the road with the Rebbe. And Rav Weinberger said that the difference between Lakutei Maharan and Sichos Haran is exactly that. When you're learning Lakutei Maharan, there's something pressured and it's very formal and each piece is to be properly understood in a way that, like you're in a Beis Medrash, you're in a classroom. Whereas Sichos Haran, you're able to kind of take a seat on the couch next to Rabbi Nachman and he offers you a glass of tea and it's a little bit more Hamish with him. You know, so we don't want to make ourselves too comfortable with Rabbi Nachman, with the Tzaddik, but it certainly will be able to speak to us on our level in a way which is more fitting for where we're holding. So Rabbi Nachman begins, quotes a pasuk from David HaMelech, Ki ani adati ki gadol Adonai v'Adonenu mikol elokim. That I know, ki gadol Hashem, I know that Hashem is great, v'Adonenu mikol elokim. I know, I'm certain that God is great, that Hashem is great. My master, our master, is greater than all Elohim and all other forces which in the world claim to be God. What does the pasuk mean? So Rabbi Nachman says, David HaMelech Alav HaShalom Omar Ki Ani Yadati. I know. I know. Ani Yadati Daika. Rabbi Nachman says it means I specifically know. In other words, what? Ki gedulas habori, and here's the point, ki gedulas habori is barach I efshar lomer lechavero, va'afilu la'atzmo I efshar lesaper. miyom liyom. We'll take the first piece first. That godless habore yisbarach, Hashem's, how great Hashem is, and my personal relationship with Hashem, e'ef shar lomer l'chaveira. It's impossible to explain this to your friend. There are certain things that you could use certain words to convey how you feel about a certain thing. There are some things, says Rabbi Nachman, says David HaMelech, that are just so all-encompassing, they're so great in my life, that I can't put it into words. Ki ani yadati ki gadol Hashem. I know that Hashem is great, but if you ask me to explain it to you, it's not possible for me to put it into words. And with this one line, Rabbi Nachman here is changing our entire way of thinking about emunah. Normally, when we think about emunah, we think about emunah as something that either I have to be able to say, you know, thought A leads to thought B, leads to thought C, which leads me to belief in God. Right? Some of us are learning together Derech Hashem, privately the Chabura. And Derech Hashem is very much point A leads to B, leads to C, and if you don't understand point B, you can't get to C. And you can't. It's very methodical, and it's very logical, and every step has to be properly explained, and has to be categorized. But then there's a level of emunah, maybe together with the Derech Hashem, not in place of, not necessarily, but there's a different way of tasting emunah, which is to, I know that God exists in a way that only I know that I can't even share with anybody else. It's completely experiential, and anytime I try to put it into words, I'm going to fall short of the goal. It's not possible for me to put it into the words. Ani yadati daika. Soloveitchik writes in several places in his Sfarim about a certain philosopher from the non-Jewish tradition who one time had it out, it's not important who it was, if you want to know afterwards you can ask me, who had it out with another Christian philosopher who said that he spent days and days and days praying. He spent days praying to ask God to illuminate to him a proof of his existence. Until finally, after many days of prayer, he was illuminated, and all of a sudden he had this notion, something that he developed into a theory of proving God's existence. What's referred to as the ontological proof of God. And this philosopher, after hearing the proof from his friend, ridiculed him and said, "Do you really mean to tell me that all those days when you were praying, all those days when you were asking God to reveal his existence, you mean to tell me that during those days when you were literally holding," he uses this language, he said, "when you're holding your lover in your arms, do you need proof of her existence? Like when you're touching God, when you're davening, when you're praying to God, and you're experiencing God in such a clear way, and it's so obvious, it's so clear, do you really need to be able to spell it out? How cheap is your relationship if somebody comes to you and says, you know, prove to me, Rabbi, that your wife exists. And on a certain level, if the only way I could prove my wife exists is if I, you know, well, here's her license, and here's her birth certificate, and here's our marriage document, so she's certainly my wife. And look, here's our child who bears the image of both of us. And if I have to prove my wife's existence like that," and I can say, "What do you mean prove? Ani adati. I know that my wife exists. Ani adati in a way that I can't even explain to you. Ani adati." And certainly, alachas kama v'kama, when it comes to our relationship with Hashem Yisbarach, that there has to be, on top of all the proofs and all of the seminars that we could go into logical derivatives of God's existence, after all of that, there has to be a certain ani yadati, ani daika, I know, with absolute certainty, that Hashem exists, experientially, because I just know. I feel Him in my life. And I can't put it into words, I don't feel the need to put it into words. But then he goes on and he says something even a bigger chiddush. Because this, I think, is really the chiddush of what Rabbi Nachman teaches us here in Sicha Aleph. More so than the chiddush of ani adati, I know, How do I know? Ki ani adati, because I know. That's because, right? It's like you speak to a little kid, and you say, well, how come this? And they try to give you an answer, and you say, well, and you keep pushing them. Or more often than not, it's the little kid pushing their parents. Why this? Why that? Why this? Eventually, you just get to like, because. That's just what it is. Ki ani adati, because I know. But Rabbi Nachman says, that's the first level. But here's the big chiddush. Va'afilu la'atzmo i'efshar l'saper miyom liyom. Even to myself, from one day to the next. From one day to the next, it becomes impossible to explain. When I want to try to explain to myself my relationship with God from today, back to what it was yesterday, and there was some moment yesterday that I had when I was sitting by my Hanukkah candles, a moment of illumination on the last night of Hanukkah, on Zos Hanukkah, and I'm sitting there by the candles. There's something about my knowledge of God that I experienced then that I can't explain to myself right now. My previous experiences sitting and being in this state of communion, so to speak, with Hashem, just feeling Hashem, I can't necessarily explain that from one day to the next. I lose it from one day to the next. And it becomes difficult for me to explain to myself today what I felt yesterday. They say about the Yid HaKadosh, the Yehudi HaKadosh of Pshischa. They used to call him the Holy Jew. And why do they call him the Holy Jew? So as Talmidim explained, they called him the Holy Jew because every single day it was ki'ilu, like he would wake up in the morning, and it was ki'ilu like it was the first day that he was a Jew in his life. It wasn't just like a hemshich from yesterday. It was something totally different. He couldn't explain to himself about yesterday what he felt. Today was a totally different day. And in both directions. My relationship with Hashem today is so much higher than it was yesterday that I can't really explain to myself what I felt yesterday, but also there were certain experiences that I had yesterday that I can't necessarily recapture fully today. They say the Rav Sadia Gaon, that Rav Sadia Gaon, from the Gonim, from the period of the Gonim, before the Rishonim even, the Rav Sadia Gaon would do tshuva every single day on the tshuva that he did the day before. Because he would say, if I really knew, I don't think he said gewalt before, but he probably would have, you know, if he was alive then. He would have said gewalt. If I would know yesterday what I know today about God, if my relationship with God yesterday would have been as deep as it is today, so then the tshuva that I did yesterday, it's a busha, right? Imagine now, like, you know, think back, right? When you're in fifth grade and you have some Rebbe, right? And you did something that wasn't so nice in class, and you drove your Rebbe crazy with all different types of shtick that you were doing. And afterwards, you know, the Rebbe calls you over and you say, you know, how could you do that? I'm just trying to do my job over here. And you keep bothering everybody around the class, and you say, you know, I'm sorry. But then, you know, you get a little bit older and you hit, you know, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th grade, maybe your year into Eretz Yisrael, and all of a sudden you start thinking back to whatever grade, if it was 5th grade, 7th grade, whatever grade you had a Rebbe that you drove crazy. And you start to think to yourself like, wow, like now that I'm starting to appreciate what Torah is and what Avodas Hashem is and what Tefillah is, like I realize like my Rebbe was like a pretty unbelievable person. And I feel the sorry, you know, the thank you that I said to him, the sorry that I said to him, the all the things that I said to him back then when I didn't appreciate who he was, I would give anything to see my Rebbe again, to say to him, if I really appreciated who you were back then, I wouldn't have said, the thank you and the sorry that I said to you back then were like an aveira almost. Because if I really appreciated who you were and what you did for me and everything that you were doing, so the sorry that I would have said wouldn't have been the same sorry. It would have been such a, the tone would have been different. The way that I carry myself when I said it would have been so different. And the same thing is true of our relationship with Hashem. Rav Sadia Gaon says, if I would really know yesterday what I know today about Hashem, it would be a totally different thing. Each day in both directions, again. Yesterday's experiences, I can't really recapture them today. There are certain experiences in my life I remember, you know, I remember certain times, a lot of these experiences took place either in Tzfat or in Meiron. You know, by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai or Tzvat by the Arizal. Certain experiences that you think back to them now, 10 years ago already, I could kind of touch it, but you can't really pull it up. And if I can't explain it to myself, then could I really think that I'd be able to explain that to somebody else? If I'm trying to give over to somebody else what my relationship with Hashem is about, as we're trying to do in yeshiva all the time, all the rebbeim here, we're trying to give over what is it? What is our relationship with Hashem? We can only give it to you partially because only through your own experiences can you come to your own personal Elokeinu. Right? Like we said so many times from the Baal Shem Tov. Elokei Avoseinu, the relationship of God to my parents, can only take me so far. It also needs to be Elokeinu. Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu. It's both. It's my relationship with God vis-a-vis the relationship that He had with my parents and my grandparents. And it's also Elokeinu, such a personal thing that I can't explain to anybody else. Each day has its own ray which comes into my life and touches me in a different way. Right, since yesterday's nitzotz hakedusha, since yesterday's way of relating to God was yesterday's way, today's way is a different thing, and therefore, and this is something which we find over and over in Rabbi Nachman's writings, the idea of Hayom, that it has to be today, dafka. My avoda today is my avoda for today. And what's going to happen tomorrow, that's for tomorrow, we'll wait for tomorrow. What happened yesterday, that was yesterday. So yesterday, I messed up. And tomorrow, where am I going to have energy for tomorrow if I use all my energy today? So Rabbi Nachman says, today's nitzutz, and today's zricha, today's ray that comes into my life, that kedusha, I use it today. And tomorrow's thing, I'm not even able to explain today, tomorrow. Tomorrow is a totally different headspace, a totally different heart space. Ki ani adati, daika. Ki efshar l'saper klal. Ani, says Rabbi Nachman, in the way that I am right now, I know. But yesterday's ani was a different ani. And tomorrow's ani will be a different ani. Today's ani, I know. The way that I experience Hashem right now, that's the only thing that I have. And to explain it to you, mamish, not possible. Yeah.
What does mitnotzeitz
mean? Mitnotzeitz, it sparks. You know? It's like a small spark. V'amar, and then Rabbi Nachman went on to say, Shema shekasav acharav, that which Rabbi Nachman explained, that which David HaMelech said afterwards in Tehillim, Kol asher chafetz Hashem asa b'shamayim uva'aretz v'chulu, that all of a sudden David HaMelech says, Ki ani adati. And Rabbi Nachman just explained that to mean that I know in a specific way. Right? That I know in a specific way. Like they say from the Baal Shem Tov, right? That the Baal Shem Tov said, it's impossible to explain. The whole ma'isa behind that, but that the Baal Shem Tov said, it's impossible to explain to a non-Jew what a Jew is. You can't explain. And then the Rebbe of Baruch Hu, who was the Baal Shem Tov's grandson, who we mentioned a few days ago, the Rebbe of Baruch Hu said, but the truth is, you can't even really explain to a Jew what a Jew is. Not possible. And Rabbi Nachman here is saying, I'll take it one step further. You can't even explain to yourself who you really are. Ani Adati is only in this moment I can experience myself. But all my previous memories of experiences that I had with Hashem, that was for then, and now is for now. And says Rabbi Nachman, what David HaMelech says afterwards, when he starts, you know, David HaMelech says, it's impossible for me to describe Hashem. And then afterwards he starts going and he describes Hashem. Kol asher chafetz Hashem asa, b'shamayim uva'aretz, everything that Hashem wants he can do. And he starts describing the attributes of Hashem. Hu inyan acher legamri, says Rabbi Nachman, that's a totally different thing. V'rachok legamri mishevach ki ani adati. That's very far away from what David HaMelech praised God, that he said, I know Hashem. Afterwards, when David HaMelech begins to enumerate and to elaborate, well, this is how I know Hashem, because I see the world, and where did the world come from, and look at the wonders in this world. And he starts going into different aspects of Hashem creating the physical world and the spiritual worlds. This, Rabbi Nachman says, is a totally different thing. This is very far away from the praise of Ani Adati. To say, I know. How do I know? Because I know. Is the first step. But then, after a person says, I know, you feel like you want to grasp at something, right? You're trying to grasp at some straws over there to try to say, I know that Hashem exists and nobody can take that away from me. But I can't help but look around and see, like, there's hints of Hashem over here and hints of Hashem over here. Like, I once heard, anyone here ever heard of Jonathan Rietti? Jonathan Rietti, he's fun to listen to. He's from South Africa, I think. All the South African thinkers are very fun to listen to because their accent is so fun. Jonathan Rietti once said that you look around the world and you see You see trees and you see the world. And everything in the world, this was the way he was Magdir, he said, everything in the world is just like, you know, like, there used to be a thing, more I think, in like the 90s, that people would spray paint and they would say like, you know, like, blank was here. You know, like, I don't know. Yeah, graffiti. I'm saying, but like they would doff. Now there's graffiti, but they do like different things now. Now it evolved a little bit now. But it used to be like blank was here, or like in summer camp. You know, like on the walls and the bunks, right?
Oh yeah.
Right. Someone owes these camps a lot of money, right, for all this graffiti. But blank was here. So he said, you look around the world and you see trees and you see birds and you see everything, and everything is like it's God. It's Hashem's graffitiing all over the place. God was here. God is here. And Kodesh Baruch Hu is here. Hashem Yisbarach is here. And that is secondary, says Rabbi Nach. Afterwards, you look around the world and you see Hashem Yisbarach is spray painting everything and he's saying, I'm here. I'm here. But the level of Ani Adati, this private relationship that's so special, that's only a relationship between you and Hashem, Ki Ani Adati Daika, that's a higher level than what happens afterwards. Afterwards, David HaMelech is grasping at something to try to explain his relationship with God. But the first thing is ki ani adati, ki kavanaso be'elu hadvarim, ki ani adati iafshar l'saper klal. Since I know the ani adati, and it's impossible for me to kind of like really put my finger on that, it's impossible for me to really give that over to somebody else. V'hu gavoa ma'od ma'od, it's so far away. Gavoa mi'al gavoa, mashi iafshar l'pel l'saper rak ani adati daika k'nisklel. V'kumo shekasav b'zohar, like it says in the Zohar Kadosh, noda basharim ba'ala. Know the basharim ba'ala. Kol chad lefuma. So everyone knows these words from Eishes Chayil. Know the basharim ba'ala. Her husband is well known in the gates. Right? Which of course is the love song between Hashem and the Jewish people. When we're singing Eishes Chayil at night, you know, sometimes you go to somebody's house and you see like the husband is like serenading his wife. And that's very beautiful because it is also speaking about the Jewish woman. Right? We have a tradition that Avram Avinu wrote this for Sara Imenu. It's a hesped for Sara Imenu, the Eishes Chayil. It's a kind of a praise, an ode to the Jewish Avram for Sara. Avram for Sara.
I heard David
right?
Also.
Avram for Sara. Right? Avram for Sara. Right? Shlomo HaMelech is the one who recorded Eishes Chayil in Mishle. Maybe that's what you're referring to.
That was for his mom.
But we have a tradition that goes back to Avram Avinu having written this for Sara Imenu. But the truth is that the entire thing is really a song of love that Am Yisrael is singing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is singing to Am Yisrael. We're singing back and forth to each other. And the Zohar translates, Noda Basharim Bala, that her husband is well known in the gates. Who's her husband? Her husband is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Am Yisrael's husband. Kol Chad Lefum Mad Mishar Libe. The word sha'arim means gates, but the word dimisha'er also means like an approximation, right? Dimisha'er libe, each one according to what his heart approximates. The Zohar explains that her husband is known in the gates. It means her husband, HaKadosh Baruch, Hashem Yisbarach, is known basha'arim. Each one according to his own level. Because it's impossible to explain to somebody else. And once we know that it's impossible to explain to somebody else, so then what we do afterwards, once I know, once I'm comfortable knowing that it's beyond anything I could possibly explain, then I could start to try to, and that's what Rabbi Nachman's explaining. Then David HaMelech can start to say, Kol Asher Chafetz Hashem Asa, Bashamayim Va'aretz, V'chulu V'chulu, I could try to explain and to put my relationship with Hashem into a box. After I've already explained, this is mamash impossible. And you know what this is like? You know, every day in Eretz Yisrael, we have this chus of saying, Ein Kelo Keinu, right? So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter once explained, because it's a funny thing, right? What do we say? We say, Ein Kelo Keinu, Ein Kadonenu, Ein Kamalkeinu, Ein Kamoshienu. And then afterwards we say, Micha Elokeinu, who is like our God? Hold on a second. Ein Kelokeinu means there is no one like our God, right? And then afterwards we ask the question, Micha Elokeinu. So you could say it's just a rhetoric. You could say it's a rhetorical question, but still, it would make more sense to say, who is like our God? Ein Kelokeinu, there's no one like our God.
Isn't that like the Yom on Sunday? You say like the last lines. Like the Yom on Sunday, like Nisimor David.
Yeah. So again, so it could be, you could explain it rhetorical, like the way that we say in the Shir Shayom. But Rabbi Yisrael Salanter explained, after a Jew comes to the level of Ein Kelokeinu, after a Jew comes to the level of Ein Kelokeinu, of saying there is no one like our God, I am fully convinced Ein Kelokeinu. There is no one like our God, and you want me to explain it to you? I can't. I just know. Ki ani adati. Ki gadol Hashem mikol Ki gadol Hashem v'adonin mikol elokim. Excuse me. That Hashem is great. He's greater than all other gods. Ein kelokein. There's no one like our God. After that, says Rishon Salanter, then I could be free to ask any question in the world. I could start to try to explain it. Mikelokeinu, mikadoneinu, michamalkeinu. I could start to try to ask that question and to try to resolve that question, even if it's not rhetorical. Because once I've come to the conclusion that there's no one like our God, once I come to the conclusion, ki ein, ki ani adati, ki gadol Hashem v'adonin mikol elokim, so then I could come to a level of kol asher chafetz Hashem asa, and let me try to explain it to you how Hashem exists. But the first step, or alternatively, I guess you could say it's like this. It's that maybe, you know, because you'll say to somebody, just believe on the level of you just know. And I'll say, but then you'll say to somebody, they'll say, but I don't know. I'll say, but I don't know. So you'll say back to them, you'll say, okay, fine. So let me explain to you first, kol asher chafetz asa. But you should know that there's going to come a point in your life when it has to be. If all your relationship with Hashem is based completely on logic, if that's all it is, so then you have to understand that there's going to be something lacking there. But if you can get to the level of kol asher chafetz asa, get you to the level of ki ani adati, ani daika, I know right now in a way that I didn't know the day before, and I'm not going to know tomorrow, because each day is its own individual thing. If a person can get to that level, so then the level of kol asher chafetz asa becomes secondary afterwards. It may be that in actuality I need to use kol asher chafetz asa as a platform to get there. Especially bizman hazeh. When you're talking to somebody who doesn't believe, they don't, what do you mean, I know? I don't know. But ultimately you have to explain to them, okay, we could start with kol asher chafetz asa, but you have to know that your relationship with Hashem, if it's not on the level, like that story from Rav Soloveitchik of, I know that my wife exists because I'm holding her hand right now. Because it's so real, it's so palpable, it's something I can touch. It's something so real that I don't need all these proofs. I don't need to see it every time I'm away. Call my wife. Do you exist? Do you exist? Are you there? Can you send me a picture of your license? I need a picture of your birth certificate. I'm not positive. I can't live without knowing. And eventually that just cheapens the relationship. So Hashem should bless us on this journey of Sichus Aran, that Rabbi Nachman should teach us and should show us how we should be able to get through the different etzos of Rabbi Nachman. Each sicha of Rabbi Nachman is an etza in our relationship with Hashem. It's a piece of advice to help us to get close to Hashem, to help us, that's why he starts the sefer with this sicha, ki ani adati, to help us get to that level of ani adati, ki gadol Hashem v'adonin mikol elokim, we should be zocha to get to that level of mehera.
Amen, shalom.